This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC. 522-WTIC, and everyone's concerned about coronavirus, I guess, and even Amazon's concerned, right, Bob?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, but again, we're not trying to spread any kind of fear here, guys.
No fake news here.
No, but what's Amazon doing?
Oh, Amazon, this is a CNET article. Mm-hmm. Amazon removes 1 million products claiming to cure coronavirus.
That is just crazy.
It is crazy.
That Amazon would even have a million products claiming to do that.
And the retailer also reportedly takes down thousands of listings from sellers it says were price gouging.
Mm-hmm, like the masks that don't help
masks,
you anyways.
Yeah, there's a shortage now because everybody wants to buy them.
That's so funny. Yeah, I heard something where some guy was buying a packet of 50 masks for like $50 rather than 15. And I'm like, why do you need 50 masks, for crying out loud? You're like a family of four. 50 masks.
Well, you gotta change them frequently.
You gotta hoard them. But again, they don't work, guys. Masks don't do any good.
Anyway, yeah. Well, the only ones that should have masks, in my opinion, that really need them are the ones who are infected.
Well, it doesn't work.
They cough, it doesn't go beyond the
It
mask.
Does, actually. The masks let it goes right past. So those
really?
Masks, yep, they're completely useless. The only ones that work are respirator-style masks. Otherwise,
oh, I see. So it captures all the air.
Yeah, otherwise there's nothing going on there, so you just look silly.
Hmm.
But the point is, a million of these products coming off of Amazon. How does Amazon even allow this to happen? What is up with Amazon? I mean, we've had stories about Amazon putting on products that are harmful to children.
Well,
they're not self-policing their site.
Well, they are.
Nah.
Yeah, they are.
How did a million of them get on? You know how long that should take?
Well, you know, as a Amazon seller, if you have an Amazon store,
yeah,
you can post anything you want.
Sell whatever you want.
But
uh-huh.
You know, after it comes into review and people start complaining,
right?
Then they, you know, then they look at what you're selling.
It's like the guy going, you know, in the old Wild West with his snake oil.
Yeah,
you get a million different products out there to cure coronavirus.
Well, I had a brother that was selling books on Amazon.
Yeah,
and somebody else bought a bunch of his books.
Yeah,
and then reported him, and he couldn't sell his own books on Amazon for 6 months
because the other guy bought the books and said that they were his
and
books.
Sold them. Yeah, exactly. And my brother was the author.
Well, gotta love Amazon. They seem to have all their stuff together, don't they?
So, yeah, they have to do their investigation. It takes time.
I guess.
I may have the months or whatever off, but, you know.
Right, yeah. The point is
it did happen.
It's the Wild Wild West on Amazon. Who knows what you're getting? And now, even when I go on Amazon, I'm not a big... I like to go shop local, right? The problem is nobody has anything local here ever. And as a guy, it takes me forever to figure out what I want. And then when I want to get it, I go get it. I want to go get it at the store, but the store doesn't have it. Nobody stocks anything anymore. So you're stuck on Amazon. And then you go look on Amazon for a product. You don't even know what's a real one or a fake one anymore. You can't tell if it's from, you know, some guy selling out of his garage, or if it's from the company, or if it's from Amazon. You can't tell who's selling it to you anymore.
Or maybe somebody's got a nice picture of a product that they're not even going to sell you.
Here's your product. It's a picture of the product you bought for $50. Yeah, it should be better considering.
Well, it was like eBay in the early days.
Yeah, but this isn't early days. Amazon didn't make money for like 20 years. They're finally starting to make money. And now they don't know what they're selling? Thanks, Amazon, for taking off the million fake products.
Yeah, but they don't sell everything. I mean...
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I know. They can let anybody on.
Amazon stores, yeah. Well, that's where they make their money.
I guess. Here's some good ones here for you. Twitter was tricked into verifying a fake 2020 candidate. The report says a high school student tells CNN it took him less than 30 minutes, this is a CNET article, to create a fake congressional candidate. Andrew Waltz, a Republican running for Congress in Rhode Island, reportedly got one of Twitter's coveted blue check marks. The problem? Waltz isn't real. It took a high school student in New York less than 30 minutes to create a campaign website and Twitter account for the fake congressional candidate. So, 17-year-old reportedly submitted into the fake candidate to Ballotopia, a nonprofit that Twitter works with to identify people running for office. So again, Twitter, like I've said almost numerous times, I don't know how I have any time for Twitter, but nobody's watching Twitter either. Be a 17-year-old and make a fake candidate and get verified, get your blue check mark, whatever that means. That's kind of silly. I also want to go ahead.
That politician actually got the blue check mark.
The fake one, yeah.
The fake one.
I know, it's crazy. So in other news, we've talked about this before, simjacking. So this is from my favorite tech blog out there over in the UK. Bloke who was simjacked twice by Bitcoin thieves, jeez, gets green light to sue telecom for millions. A California judge has given the go-ahead for a $240 million lawsuit against AT&T for porting a subscriber's phone number to a hacker, allowing the criminal to steal $24 million in fake money, cryptocurrency. Michael Turpin sued the mobile operator back in 2018, and he revised his legal challenge a year later to make it more specific allegations. So again, simjacking is a problem. And the problem is two-factor authentication is utilized by your phone, right? You configure a text. And if your account then is configured to text you, if you log into your fake money wallet there, your crypto miner wallet, and then if it wants the two-factor, it's going to send a text to your phone number and you put it in. Well, what the bad guys are doing, they're simjacking. And they're telling AT&T, hey, you know what? I need to port my number over here. And AT&T's like, okay. And they move the number over to the bad guy. The guy logs into the guy's crypto wallet and gets the two-factor text. And now he's took $24 million in fake money. You can't have AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon be the keepers of our two-factor authentications, guys. They're just not designed for it. They're mobile carriers. They're not security companies. Half the guys you're talking to on the phone probably were selling sneakers the week before. So what's happening is nobody's properly verifying you are who you say you are. And when they move that account over, it's gone, right? So now your two-factor has kind of been defeated. So again, we've recommended here a physical key. Right? The Yubico keys or the Titan keys, that the hacker can't do anything about that. It's physically on your person. He would literally have to first steal your account and then mug you, take your key. So using your phone as a two-factor authentication to a text number doesn't sound like a good idea. If you want to use an app, a third-party app, maybe Duo, which we use a lot for our customer base, that is definitely an option, but that doesn't use texting necessarily. It's an app that you're working with, so it can't be as hijacked as it's happening here as easily. So be careful when your two-factor happens to be going through a phone provider, especially if you have millions of dollars in fake money. Did you have anything else, Bob, you wanted to bring up?
I got a good one.
Yeah.
China may send 100,000 ducks to swallow locust plague.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, so a single duck can eat more than 200 locusts each day, a researcher tells Bloomberg. However, a China Agricultural University professor reportedly expresses doubts about this solution.
Right.
Pakistan's locust population might try to call foul play. An army of 100,000 Chinese ducks could be tasked with battling the insects plaguing Pakistan's crops, Bloomberg reported Wednesday.
Yep.
The birds are biological weapons with a serious appetite for locusts. A single duck can eat more than 200 a day. Jingliang Academy of Agricultural Sciences researcher Lu Liji told, I hope I pronounced that right, told the news agency they could be deployed to Pakistan in the latter half of the year following a trial in China's western region of Xinjiang.
Right.
Okay. The locust infestation is apparently worse than Pakistan has seen in 20 years and threatens the country's wheat harvest after ruining its cotton crop last year, according to The Guardian, which cited the news.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm going to jump down.
So it's pretty low-tech technology article.
It is. It says...
you're going to use a duck.
Back in 2000, China sent 30,000 ducks from Xinjiang province to Xinjiang to tackle an infestation of locusts. The BBC noted, ducks are better locust hunters than chickens because they flock together rather than splitting up. And chickens will only eat around 70 locusts a day.
Yeah.
And I would contend that those chickens would be fattened up and consumed very...
So are the ducks. I mean, they're practically chicken.
That's true.
So after the locusts are eaten, and we can go eat the ducks, and everyone's happy.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So, all right, we'll see what happens there. I wanted to bring this up, too. Best Buy is doing something weird. Some employees are expressing a growing uneasiness with something called progressive leasing, which is being offered to customers who don't qualify for their retailer credit card. They're offering this lease-to-own program. And basically what happens is if you don't qualify for the credit card, meaning you can't afford to buy the TV, all right? You can't. And they're saying, okay, don't worry about it. You can go ahead and just pay $79 and then you can pay a progressive lease rental over 12 months. And what it turns out, a $1,000 TV becomes a $2,000 TV because they've, you know, hardware as a service, as it were. They've leased you or rented you the hardware. And it's pretty heavy duty loan sharking here, as far as I can see. So I would caution you guys. This is kind of a common issue, even in our business, for companies that are looking to buy voice over IP phone systems, or even servers and workstations. They're being kind of offered these types of monthly payments. And what happens is a $20,000 phone system becomes a $250,000 phone system if you pay for it monthly. So if you look at what it costs to, you know, you're hoping your phone system lasts you 15 years, right? Or more if you buy it as a small business. What's happening is companies are coming in and say, oh, just pay us $25 a handset forever. And if you do the math on that, you're going to end up spending 5-6 times what you would if you just bought it. And that's kind of what's happening here with this new program with Best Buy. I'm not so, I mean, if you can't afford the TV, save up. Don't give them twice as much money to buy the same TV. This crazy progressive leasing. This sounds awful. But again, it's happening in businesses. If you can't afford the phone system, don't have some slick guy tell you, well, it's only $25 a phone every month. Would you ever do that? Would you? If you just did the math and did it over X number of months, it can be wildly expensive to do it that way. And we used to joke about the poor elderly folks who, you know, in the center part of the country have been renting their AT&T phone forever for $12 or $13 a month forever. And the individual phone could have cost the poor folks their tens of thousands of dollars because of the rental. So, I mean, if it's a rental, I would tell you to run away. We'll put these links up here. You can read the whole story about this Best Buy thing. Definitely seems a little, I don't know, predatory, as far as I can tell. We'll put a link up here on all these stories. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, guys. Good time to do it early, usually by the 9:30, 10 o'clock hour. We're all jammed up. So right now, lines are wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Four lines wide open, so feel free to get online. But yeah, this whole SIM jacking thing, it's a problem, especially if you are known to be, you know, if you're a known figure out there, right? And some of the SIM jacking is really happening by just being targeted specifically because you're known to be a, you know, a big cryptocurrency guy or very involved in XYZ company. And basically, these folks that work at some of these big cell services, right at their counters, are working together to try to, you know, trick the individual into having their phone ported away from them, and they're working together with the bad guys. So be aware of it. If you're using your texting as a second factor, it may be a little less a secure thing than if you used a physical key. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Rick first in Wethersfield. Morning, Rick.
Hi, how are you?
Clearly, I'm not doing too well. I'm losing my my voice already, and I don't know. How are you doing?
I'm kind of experiencing the same thing. So,
yeah,
yeah. Geez. Hang in there.
I'll try. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I have a laptop, Lenovo, that's about 4 or 5 years old, and it's acting a little quirky. And I am kind of needing to probably get a backup or a new, I think, laptop because I'll be doing some new activity job-wise. And I just want to make sure, you know, before I start that mm-hmm. maybe I kind of transfer things over and get a new PC. So I was wondering what are some of the better ones out there now? It's been about 5 years.
Well, if you like Lenovo, you can stick with Lenovo. That's an option. Obviously, you can stick with a brand you're familiar with. But we like HP. We've had very good luck with our client base with HP.
So. Yeah, I used to have an HP, and I like them. The Lenovo is a little different. And I was thinking of maybe going back that way to HP. So
yeah.
That was what I was wondering about.
And try to stick with a metal case. They're much better quality if you stick with something that's got the metal around it rather than plastic.
Yep.
That's number one. And then, of course, your processor speed comes down to your budget, right? So i5 or better, i5, i7. Look for a current generation. You're going to find the cheaper ones are going to be the 7th and 8th gens if they're still out there. But if you can get a 9th gen, that'd be the latest processor type. And
yep.
8 gigs of RAM is a good number. And solid-state hard drive, depending on how much space you need, 256 minimum solid-state hard drive. If you can afford more, that'd be great. And do it before your laptop fails. That's really the key.
Yep. That sounds good.
Yeah.
So 256 gigs?
Yes.
Or, yeah, okay, for the hard drive.
Right. It's not a lot of space, so it depends on how much you're putting on this thing or if you're going to have some of your data off on a secondary drive.
Because yep.
256 okay. is still quite small
okay.
these days, especially if you're doing pictures and stuff like or video. It's not going
right.
to last very long. But if it's just Word documents, it's perfect.
And 8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, 8 gigs minimum. If you go more than that, that's fine. 16 would be nice. It all comes down to your budget. But if you can get
right.
those minimum specs and go and if you find one within your budget that has more, you win.
How much does it go? How much would that go? The minimum specs, so about like an estimate. Where's my starting point?
Well, so it depends on if you buy a consumer grade laptop or a business grade laptop. So in the consumer grade, you might find those specs anywhere in the $500 to $800 range. In the business grade, you might find it in the $800 to $1,000 range. And the business grade is just going to deal with better quality components. They're not just pricing it higher. The consumer grade is going to cut some corners on some of the quality areas and the component areas of the laptop,
okay.
making it cheaper.
The warranty
okay.
is shorter on a consumer grade versus a business grade.
It can
Pardon
be.
Me, what was that?
Bob thought that the warranty could be different too on the business grade versus consumer grade. But generally, you'll have an option to purchase whatever you want there.
Okay. So normally it's better with the consumer than the business, you said?
Vice versa.
Okay.
Vice versa, but
okay.
you have to pay for it either way.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's great. That gives me some places to start.
Yeah.
And, within the next week, I really want to try and prepare for that. So,
yeah, don't wait too long. It's listening. It knows you're thinking about it now, and it's going to fail.
Any other software issues or whatever, you know, it's or apps that I should be loading up, you know, that are...
Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to recommend Webroot for your antivirus. And we're going to recommend that you configure OpenDNS so that you're surfing more safely. Those two things are always important. Yep. Other than that, no. Whatever you want to do, you can buy an Office Suite once, or you can rent it with 365 forever. It's up to you.
Right. Yeah, rent it with Office. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of doing.
Yeah, whatever works for you. But the two security things, Webroot and OpenDNS, are good starts.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You got it, Rick. Thanks for calling.
All right. Take
care. Yep, bye-bye. All right, he's got something to do for a Saturday morning. What, we got about a minute here? All right. I'm going to go right to Bob in Manchester next. Hey, Bob.
Hey, I'm having a problem with...
Welcome to the club. What's going on?
The bandwidth from Cox Cable.
All right, what you getting?
I'm on my laptop. When it's Wi-Fi, I get 14.
All right.
I'm supposed to be... 150.
150,
I'm paying for 150.
All right.
And then on my desktop, I get about 40.
And that's wired directly or wireless as well?
Well, no, that's wired directly from the router.
All right. Now,
I got Cox Cable in there to service it.
Yep.
And he checked, and he said... looks like you're having a problem with your modem.
Yeah.
So I put a Netgear modem in.
Yep.
Bought a new one, and same thing.
All right. So, Bob, hang on a sec as we go through a hard break here at the news, and then we'll get back to you and see what we can do.
Okay.
All right. We're going to put Bob on hold and see if we can help him out with his bandwidth. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we talk about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you follow us on Twitter, I'm not sure if we have a blue check or not, over at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get into your news feed. And, of course, via Facebook as well, if you follow us at Tab Computer Systems. We'll be right back. We are back. Two lines open for you. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you're listening on the stream over at radio.com, if you're anywhere in the country, or in the world for that matter, right? It's a toll-free number all in the world, right, Matt? 800-966-WTIC. And feel free to get online. We're happy to take your call. We're back with Bob in Manchester, and he's dealing with his bandwidth issue. So you're paying for $150. And your PC is only getting 40 after you changed out your modem.
Right, right.
And you're connecting the computer right to the modem?
When I did that, I ran into a problem, another problem. I figured, because it wasn't working, so I figured, well, maybe I'll do a restart. So I did a restart on my computer.
Yeah.
And it crashed.
Your computer crashed?
Yeah, and I couldn't get it to, it would... just come up with a blue screen and then the ball turn and then it would just stall. So
that's a whole different problem, Bob.
Yeah. So I took care of that. I rebooted and I went to a recovery, which was a mistake because then I wound up with Windows 7.
Oh boy, you went all the way back. But okay, so you're having fun over there in Manchester.
Yeah. So anyway, at the office on my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
I get about 60 or 70, which I figure is okay.
Yeah.
And on the desktop, it goes up to 90,
sure.
91, 92.
Yep.
I went over to my son's house. He's an old line.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Comcast, and I got 114.
Yeah.
My laptop, which I thought was great.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm stumped. Well, and I'm not sure if going through the router would drop the speed.
It could. Your router could be old. So you've got multiple issues here that you have to look at. Now, you already have proven that your laptop wireless configuration can go as high as 114. So what is it, 802.11ac is he running, or what's he running over there,
could
Bob?
Could be a lot of things, I mean. Yeah.
So the protocol you're using, you've proven your laptop is capable of the high speeds. Now, when you go to your home, your router, its wireless radio might be old. Might be a, who knows, could be a G. Could be, who knows what version of wireless you're running, and that's why you're getting such a bad result.
Yeah, G's only going to get you about 54.
Yeah, on a good day. He's only getting like 15.
So
you're, how old's your router, Bob? Is it yours?
Yeah, it's a Netgear.
How old? What's the model?
I'm not sure. I'm not at home now.
Oh, okay.
I'm at my office.
All right. Well, I think that's your problem, is that old Netgear router, because the modem you've changed, and when you plug the computer directly into the modem, you should get the fastest available bandwidth that you're paying for, right? Mm-hmm. And when you're wireless, it's your Netgear router handing out that performance, and it's not doing a very good job. So I would tell you to upgrade your router.
Okay.
Because we already know your laptop is going to work.
Yeah, because the next thing I was going to do is I might call him anyway and downgrade my speed,
yep,
my bandwidth.
Yep. Is it just you and your wife, or how many people?
Yeah,
are?
Just my wife and I.
Yeah, you don't need that much speed to do what you're doing. You only need about 75 megs would be nice. 50 to 75 is all you need to do what you're doing at home.
Yeah.
I've got 83 whole megabits. No, I'm paying 83 for 65. And I've got five people hammering that thing. It's no problem. So don't get too much. Don't buy too much. It's all a big trick.
Yeah.
They want to sell you a big pipe. And you're not going to use it. You're still just turning on the shower.
Right. All right. I'll try that.
Yeah, upgrade the router. Go, and we've got some links from past shows as to the router I've put in place to replace my old router, which was starting to show its age, if you'd like to check that out.
What brand was that?
Well, the brand I chose was a Linksys brand.
Oh.
And if you go back to past archived shows, you'll see the link to the actual router I chose.
Yeah, I got a Linksys at the office, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
All right, Bob.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. This is really the kind of the issue with the model of bandwidth and the internet itself. You can kind of relate it to the issue that people are having with the MDC water issue, right? It's, if you think of the internet and you think of the packets and the megabits as water, same idea. What you're doing is the internet companies are trying to sell you a big fat pipe to the internet. It only means you can move a lot of water or internet data down your pipe, but you don't need to, right? You're only going to use a tiny fraction of that pipe. Again, this is for home. For businesses, this is different, but for home, you don't need a big pipe. Now, you look at the MDC. MDC is going to crank up your water rates because you're not using as much water, right? They're a consumption model. They actually bill you by the gallon, right? Internet isn't. They're a pipe model. How big of a pipe can I sell you that you're not going to use? So the problem is, as you conserve water, guess what? What you do use goes up in cost, right? You're using less. The infrastructure costs the same. The people cost the same. Everything goes up. But you're not using anymore, so every drop costs more.
So, honey, turn on the water sprinklers, lawn sprinklers.
Yeah, right, exactly. but, of course, that's counterintuitive, right? You want to conserve. But they still get a charge.
Not anymore.
Well, that's why they have the whole problem with Niagara, right? They need to, after Niagara hits a high number, then they want to give them a discount. The more they discount, then that covers the cost for everybody else, but everyone's screaming that it seems counterintuitive that you're giving them a discount. But I digress. Think of it that way. Imagine if the internet companies changed their model, and instead of selling it to you by the pipe, they sold it to you by the bit. Right now, all of a sudden, you're a consumption model, and your bill could be really low, depending on how much you use.
You only pay for what you need.
Right. Like the emu over there. If you think of the internet the way water works, but you look at the models, because I heard somebody comment that the MDC's model is wrong. Imagine if they used the internet model to sell you water. How much do you think your monthly bill would be then, Bob? They use the internet model.
I'd have to turn the water off.
Exactly.
I'd be cheaper buying it from Niagara at the grocery store.
Exactly. Because what would happen is they take your entire cost to run the entire system, divide it by all your people, and everyone's going to pay $500 a month for water.
Yeah, even if you only use an 8-ounce glass.
Just like the internet works. Do you see what I'm saying? That's how the internet model works. That's why it's a car payment to get internet service, right? Or television. That's what they're doing to you. They're selling you more than you use. But it's one of those things. So you don't need a whole lot of bandwidth for home. You don't need a big pipe. You only need 50 to 75 megs. All right, excuse me. So let's get right to your calls again. Three lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's go to Joe in Berlin. What's up, Joe?
Good morning. Good morning. How, you just on that last discussion you had there, I was just curious: is are the internet companies making money at this point? You know, what does their profit margin look like?
It looks pretty good.
Okay. If that's the case, well, then I agree with you 100%. But anyhow,
yeah. And the thing is, Joe, they're a monopoly. You only have two choices on top of it.
Well, how many stadiums can they afford to sponsor and put their names on?
Yeah, they're doing pretty well, I would say.
Good point. Good point. Okay.
So what's up?
Hey. I've got three questions. When I do a backup, I always did copy and paste, and I would just make a subdirectory called the date, and I would just copy everything I need into that subdirectory. Well, you've been talking about backup software lately,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, well, maybe I should try. I bought a new. I've got probably 5, 6, 8. Hard drives, separate hard drives that I have, going back over the years.
Yep.
But anyhow, you were talking about backup software.
Mm-hmm.
I looked through the archives and I didn't see anything, anything that you would recommend. I'm getting lazy. I thought maybe it'd be nice if I didn't.
Sure.
If I could,
I'll bring it up again. Yeah. You can use the to-do back, who's it by? Isuzu to-do backup. It's a free backup. It's Chinese software, so be wary of that.
Yeah.
Free software. That's what I use for my home. I don't care if the Chinese have my pictures. On the other side of the more high end, you could try Acronis, which is an image-based backup. Now, the way you've been backing up, Joe, is not a bad way. A copy and paste gives you a nice native file, right? The file's copied there. You can see it. You can access it.
Exactly.
When you create a backup with a software program, the only way to restore is you have to reload the software program on your new computer, right? And then run a restoration program.
Yep.
Because you can't just read the backup file.
Well, the only thing, I would just do a copy of drive C and paste, but there's a bunch of files that it won't copy for whatever reason.
Well, that's kind of a read-only thing. You only need to copy your data. You don't need the system files. You need your data.
Okay.
Because if your computer crashes, let's say it's a Windows 7 machine, the next machine you're going to buy is a Windows 10. And
these are 10s. I have two of them. They're
both 10s. All right. So even if you have all the system files, though, you're not really going to be able to restore those naturally. You're going to have a fresh installation on a new platform, and then you're going to choose the directories that you copied that are just your data and restore them. If you restore the files, the actual program files, you could be overwriting newer files that are on the new platform. So just back up your data the way you're doing it, and you'll be fine with a copy and paste. But again, it's selective. You have to remember where you put your stuff. Right. If you put something important in some folder on a different drive that you don't remember, and you don't remember to back it up, it's gone when the thing crashes. So that's the other drawback too. Whereas a software program, you can configure to back up the whole thing.
Okay. I usually keep keep things in the right folders. But now, okay. So that's.
Before you ask the other two questions, Joe, can I put you on hold? Because we got to take a quick break. All right, we're going to put Joe on hold, and we'll get out to a quick break here, guys. Three lines open for you on this Saturday morning. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We got two lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll go back to Joe in Berlin with his additional questions. What's going on, Joe?
Okay. My second question also concerned with backup. If I have two users on the on one computer, does each user have to back up separately?
Depends. Can you see their data as you? Are you an administrator or you have a high enough credentials to see their data?
I'm an administrator,
All right. And can you browse to their folder and see their data?
Yes.
Then no, then they would not need to have a separate backup. You just have to capture that folder.
Okay, I'll just do it. Okay, and now my third question is these computers have they've got a 512 meg solid state drive and
nice.
Two I think they're 5 terabyte hard drives.
Wow.
So but everything goes to the default drive, which is drive C.
Well, that's your problem.
Okay, how do I change that so that because the other user is just puts it in the default drive?
Yeah, you can't really force it. You got to tell the user to put the data where they're supposed to. Unless Bobby has a trick that I'm aware of, you're supposed to just tell them, "Hey, here's where your folder is over here on this drive. Save it over here."
Yeah, but what happens is every time you boot up, some of these programs go back to their default drives, and that's that.
Well, that's because you have the option, free will. You can choose where you like to stick your data, and you have to tell the user to use the tool properly. You know, Bob maybe has some ideas here, but if you have certain programs, you can tell them to go certain places.
All your standard programs, you can go into the options and you can set the default folder where it's going to save your program.
Right.
Save your documents, if you will. So you can change the default. And
within the program itself, some of them will have that option for you.
Well, most of your better ones. You know, all your Office applications give you the ability to change the default location. So you can change it from My Documents
to Joe's Documents or Joe's Documents Backup, whatever you want to call it.
Or a different folder on the C drive or a network.
On the D drive.
A network map drive if you want.
But you have to choose it and you have to configure it. And then even after you configure the default, the person can still choose to stick it on their desktop. Right, on their local desktop. So there's not much you can do other than tell them what to do.
Okay, I will. I'll go look for that then.
Yeah, which program is the biggest problem? All of them?
No. It's primarily, well, Outlook. And for whatever reason, and it's I tried this
the PST file?
Office 365.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody emails you emails you a document,
yeah,
and you go to save it,
yep,
it the save defaults goes to drive C.
Yeah, so like Bob said, you can configure that within Outlook as to where your default drive will be to save things. But again, you can always just keep that in your mind. Hey, I need to save this to here. You can just actually navigate to where you'd like to save the file. The more you do it yourself, the better you'll understand how the computer works.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. Well, I don't have a problem with that, other than the fact that it's just extra steps.
Yeah. Well, okay. So yes, you got to pick the drawer before you file the file.
Correct.
Exactly.
Correct. I understand.
What kind of shop you running over there, Joe? Huh? Mass production. Lots of data going into that there.
No, it's primarily, pictures.
Yeah.
Like that.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time.
No, that's okay. okay.
All right.
I'll go look for the default settings.
Yeah.
So. All right, and that was a bad mistake. Outlook 365. I'm going to go buy out I want to own the program.
Yep.
I don't want to stick out in the cloud someplace. So
yeah,
that was the other issue.
Yep, you can go ahead and buy the home and business or the student and home version, and just buy it once and not rent it forever from Microsoft.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Joe.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Right, bye. All right. So we're going on to Bob in East Hartford. What's going on, Bob?
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a Hewlett-Packard 312C printer, and the black and white cartridge for it is an HP 15. I recently bought one at Staples,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of shocked when I had to pay almost $70 for the cartridge. And I was wondering if you guys could help me find a place where I could get it less expensive. At one time, Walgreens drugstore used to refill cartridges.
Yeah.
Which I used to take advantage of.
Mm-hmm. A lot of money in cartridges.
And it was really inexpensive. And,
right.
That worked well until they discontinued it. They don't do that anymore.
Right. What happened is HP got wise and said, wait a minute, you're not going to be refilling these cartridges. And they made intelligence on the cartridges themselves to notice whether or not they're refilled or not. So you can't do that anymore. They want their money. So my best advice would be to go laser. But that's just me. Bob has an idea, though.
Oh, well, that's getting a different printer.
It is.
The printer I have is Hewlett Packard 312C.
Yeah.
And it works fine. I mean, I've had it since 1999, and it works beautifully.
I know.
It's an inkjet printer, right?
It's a what?
Is it an inkjet printer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So inkjets are very, very expensive to run, the ink, and they put a chip in there that forces you, it keeps track of the ink level, which a lot of times is wrong.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I've seen a lot of them for clients that they got a brand new cartridge and it shows in as empty.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that they don't want you to renew it because HP, their model was they made 5% of their profit on their hardware and 95% of their company's profit was in consumables, which would be ink and toner.
Yep.
So that's their business model. That's why, you know, they want to put these chips in there that allows you to use the, you know, their ink and toner just once and then, you know,
buy a new one. So that's why we say laser. I mean, if you've got kids, imagine you would go broke.
No, I don't. In fact, I use the printer sparingly, and when I want something for my own personal use that I'm not going to send out, I always print in draft form, which takes less ink.
But the other problem too, Bob, is those cartridges tend to get kind of crusty, and then all of a sudden they get clogged up, the nozzles are clogged up, so you got a $70 cartridge sitting in there that if you haven't printed in a bunch of months, you run a cleaning routine that spits out a bunch of ink to get through that.
The ink will dry up.
Yeah, if I could tell you anything, stay away from inkjet and go laser.
Do you need color?
What I do, I've just given up on the color portion of it. And as a last resort, when I need something in color, I just go to the library and pay 25 cents a sheet.
Wow.
So if you you could get a inexpensive monotone, just black,
laser
printer,
right,
for $100.
Yep.
No kidding.
Oh yeah, that's what we tell you to do because you're
spending $70
on the cartridge.
I know.
Okay, all right,
guys.
Bob. So good luck with that. All right,
is
sir.
Is there a brand name?
HP. Even though you know,
Hewlett Packard makes it.
Yeah, laser printers. That's them. That's what they're known for.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
You got it, sir.
Bye now.
Bye bye. Yep, stick with lasers. Stay away from the inkjets. We're going to get to more of your calls, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you're listening on the HD side, 96.5 HD2. I don't sound like Ray Optimus Prime on it, but it's, you know, nice solid FM connection if you want to check us out there. Of course, on radio.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.